our God is good. There's no doubt in that. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord together today. There's no doubt in that. And it is wonderful to be able to praise God with our voices, with our hands, when we clap for the Lord and clap to the Lord, when we testify of Him daily and out in our everyday life to our family, friends, and those we work with, or those strangers that we come across in the streets that we don't really know, but we're testifying by the word of mouth. And when we testify of God's goodness, just in our worship every day, of just our own walk with Him personally, we got a lot to praise God for, because He made a way for every bit of that. He makes a way where there is no way. I really love the verse that Kathleen read today. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And it almost was in my notes, but I don't think I put it in there, but it was almost in there. It was in my other notes. We do need to seek God's kingdom first. So friends of God, I come to you today to bring you the word of God that leads to everlasting life. We all know that. The word of God, you can be assured, will help you to develop, mature, and continually grow in your faith in God Almighty. That's the truth. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans 10 and 17. And today I do not have slides. If you're offended, I apologize. Romans 10, 17. And if you would, I will ask you today to stand for the reading of God's word. Romans 10 and 17. Now, Romans 10 and 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And I'm reading from the ESV. Your translation may be, it might say the word of God or some other words there, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Let's all pray. And if you would, extend your hands my way towards me and pray for me as well. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the holy name of Jesus, thanking you, God, for all that you have done and are doing and will do. Lord, you know greater than I know what the need of the church is, much greater. And Lord, we pray that your will be done today in this service, that your word would go forth, and as you've promised, it won't come back void. That you would, Lord, help me to speak your word by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Anoint our ears to hear your word and our hearts and minds to receive your word, and that we would also apply your word and act on it in loving reverence of you, God. In Jesus' holy name, we pray that you would grow us. Amen. Now, this message is a part of it's a series in progress that I'm working on. And we know that without any doubt, it is a growing faith in God Almighty that we do need. And the series title is Growing the Family of God. We need it, this growing in the Lord. It doesn't stop at salvation when we ask Jesus in our heart to forgive us of our sin. We don't do that and it be all there is. Stamp, we're done, we're grown. We've arrived. No, it's a work in progress. It's a work in step in relationship with Jesus, in His Word, in God, seeking God's kingdom first and His righteousness. What I mean by developing and maturing a growing faith is a strengthening of the deep conviction of our God's blessed assurance, our blessed hope. By reading this verse that we read, so faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, is how we do this, how we grow. Today in our world, there is a misconception of the word faith. Wouldn't you agree? A complete misconception of what the word faith means. And with this misconception comes an attempted misappropriation. And the synonym of misappropriation is an extortion, which we know in general terms is illegal. If you're going to extort from someone, you're taking something. I'm not focusing so much on the extortion part today, but I want to focus on this misconception just a little. And what faith is. You know what faith is, right? For example, if we misconceive faith or misunderstand faith, it's similar to trying to work out our faith ourselves. And yeah, we do need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord, as the Bible says. But if we're misappropriating faith, then we have this idea that faith is what we have faith in. How much faith we have. That's not it. Faith in faith is not true faith. Faith in the source is true faith. The source is God Almighty. Faith in God Almighty. Forgive me, I'm going to be sipping water today. We can't work enough, and I say this often, I know. I bring this up a lot. We can't work enough to do it. We can't get ourselves salvation. We can't be good enough. None of that works. We have to have faith. Well, faith, as we know, comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. This, I'm not saying anything that you don't know. I'm not saying anything that God didn't say this to me and over again throughout my life in a way that, okay, you don't know this, but in a reminder, in a fresh reminder that this is what you need. You need to feed on the Word of God. And I love it, to sit in His presence and be at His feet and draw from His Word. It's a well of resource that never runs dry. This misconception of faith by the works of man is not founded in Christ at all. Here's an example. Have you ever tried to fix something that you didn't know how to fix without following the instructions? Anybody ever try that? So you may have discovered it took you a little longer, or perhaps you were left with several unused parts. You were not sure where they went, but they were important. Maybe you discovered your efforts were fruitless. Or have you ever gotten lost without a map, or in these days, without satellite signal? Only to spend hours and hours and hours turning down this street and up that road trying to figure out where you're at. In vain. You may begin those kind of things with great confidence, some self-assuring words, affirmation, or something like that says, I got this. And your belief is, I can figure it out. Yeah. My mother's idea of getting lost is you just keep going straight, eventually you'll come out. That doesn't work. You come out in like Timbuktu. So we don't always figure it out. We cannot figure out salvation on our own. We cannot make salvation happen to ourselves on our own. We need what we sang about today, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ applied. In his mercy and grace, without the saving grace of God, we are eternally lost. We may think we've got this. We've worked hard and have obtained some temporary satisfaction. But without God, we are on the broad road to hell. Matter of fact, many are on the broad road to hell who think that they know God because they feel then believe that they're good enough and in their works they can make it, maybe by their church membership or just by what they give in money, but they've never asked or accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. Never received Jesus and believed in who he is, but they come or go to a church for an attendance record or go to church for some other reasons other than really truly worshiping God Almighty. We are here today to worship God. Life eternal is found in Christ alone. We will never find satisfaction in worldliness with all its glitter, with all its gold, nor will we find out that it suffices what we need. We need a Savior. We all know that. I believe you all know that. And if you don't, the door is open. Jesus is here to give you eternal life. And all you need do is believe that he is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and shed his blood for you. And you ask him into your heart to forgive you of your sins. And you accept him into your life as your Lord and Savior. And then you turn to him and serve him in your repentance. And in your repentant walk, draw closer to him. He did not draw you to him to turn away. He drew you to draw near. And that's what we are talking about this morning when we are talking about faith growing in the family of God. Growing in faith, it starts individually in our hearts as we grow close to Jesus. Romans 1:16 through 17. You can turn with me there. Romans 1:16 through 17. Romans 1:16 through 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And then a little bit further it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So our topic today is that faith. The righteous shall live by faith. There are many, many synonyms in the English language for righteous. So what is it to be righteous? Let me just list some of these words in the English language that are synonyms to the word righteous. Ethical, honest, true, good, moral, virtuous, upright, worthy, right, right-minded, just, innocent, exemplary, pure, principled, blameless, guiltless, commendable, credible, reputable, esteemed, clean, irreproachable, spotless, law-abiding, scrupulous, uncorrupted, and upstanding. I don't know about you, but if I'm looking at my life, that ain't happening all the time. Just the other day, I was going 65 and a 55. Oh, my Lord, I just confessed that out loud. Can we, with all of our effort, attain righteousness? God says there is none good. No, not one. Jesus is the only one worthy to receive honor and glory. Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God, innocent and guiltless. Oh, he meets these criteria. Every one of them without fault. He is unspotted, unblemished, irreproachable. He is right-minded, innocent, just, guiltless. Jesus meets all that I listed. Then if we will turn in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we will read, "For our sake he made him to be sin," that is Christ, "to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, God imputes Christ's righteousness on those he saves who repent and confess Jesus as their Lord. God imputes Christ's righteousness. God, Jesus, who hung on the cross, gave his life, sinless life, that we may be righteous in him. In ourselves alone? No, we are not righteous in ourselves alone. We must have Christ and walk and abide in Christ to be righteous. In effect, Christ became sin so that we may be in him, that we may in him become righteous and therefore become the righteousness of God. Philippians 3, 8, and 9 says, "Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith," that faith in Christ. "It's not by the works of the law can anyone be saved." The law is important, but it's not by the works of the law that anyone can be saved, because then it puts it on us to do the work of salvation, which it is Christ's work, finished and done. All we need is to accept him as Lord and Savior and walk in that righteousness. We can look to the Word of God again to gain better understanding. So turn with me to Romans chapter 9. You're very close to there. If we didn't turn, we may have turned. Romans chapter 9. So in Romans chapter 9, and verse 32, Paul asks a rhetorical question. Romans 9:32, the question that he asks is a one-word question. He asks the question, why? Why? And he's talking about the verses before. When he's asking this question, he's asking why? But he's asking it rhetorically about why. Why did Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, not succeed in obtaining their goal of righteousness? Why? They worked hard in their sacrifices daily. But why? Well, Paul then, in the verses to follow, answers this rhetorical question. The answer points to Christ, of course. Romans 9:23 through 33 says this, why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. That's why. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. They stumbled over that as far as the Israelites go. They did not look towards him if they were not in that lineage of faith and believing in God and his promises. They didn't look to him. But many rebelled from God. I say that quite often, talking about the children of Israel and their wandering in the wilderness. I've mentioned that many times. Romans 10, 1 through 4 says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. This is Paul speaking to his desire for his people, because he's an Israelite, to be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And God's people do perish because of a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of God's word, as we've heard. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ fulfilled the law for us. How much does God love us? That Christ would come so that we can attain his righteousness and live in it. How much does he love us that he gave us his word? And you and I are privileged to read it anytime we want to read it. I don't recommend reading it driving down the road, but you can listen to it on the app. Or you can pull over and read. How loving our God is. And how wonderful when the word of God speaks so richly to our hearts. And remember, this is the first part of a series called Growing the Family of God. We need the Word of God. Yes, we do. We need to walk in the righteousness of God. We need faith in who Jesus is to do all of that. We can't even understand the Word of God without faith in Christ, turning to Him, and the Holy Spirit opening it up to us and showing us. The righteous shall live by faith, according to Habakkuk, according to Paul in Romans, and also according to Paul in Galatians 3:11. So what does this look like? We have examples given to us in the Word of God. And I often refer to them, and I know I brought it up, so bear with me. I'm not going to read the chapter of faith this morning, but it's Hebrews chapter 11. The first part of it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it people of old received their commendation. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I cannot hear that on my own righteousness. My righteousness, according to the word of God, and I will say, yes, I know this is true, is as filthy rags. But God clothes me. God clothes me with his righteousness. As I walk in him and he abides in me, I can walk closer to him and learn and grow in him. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I have a hope because of Christ that I will hear that. As we read Hebrews 11, what is referred to as that faith chapter, we can see people before and after Christ obeying and trusting God's word. As I was thinking about faith and all of these things that we hear in our environments about faith here in our world, that would be the people that are around you, the voices you hear, the messages you may see or hear. And I think about how much faith is twisted and misconceived and maybe even in some minds very corrupted. Faith is simple. It's a simple belief in Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the God who heals us and baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, entering in. He is the one who does the work, but he wants to use us as conduits. Conduits for his glory and of his glory, giving him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It belongs to him, doesn't it? It belongs to him. And here we are back. Romans 10, 7, 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.